A stripe of blue shrinks to a circle as a burst of light turns to a few streaks against the orb. Touchstone Pictures. Touchstone Pictures presents, in association with Silver Screen Partners 4, a Raymond Wagner production, a Roger Spottiswood film, Tom Hanks. In blue letters, Turner and Hooch. Packing boxes lean against the walls of a light-colored room. Through a doorway, an exercising man casts a shadow on the wall. The man's feet move back and forth on the runners of the exercise machine as his hands pull hand grips attached to cables. He places several bottles in a row. One reads kelp. Another is labeled bee pollen. Mayor Winningham, Reginald Vell Johnson. The man, with dark hair and a clean-shaven face, eats at a table and looks at a piece of paper. He tears a check from his checkbook. The name on the checks is Scott Turner. Scott Paulin, J.C. Quinn. Scott Turner washes dishes at the sink and places a plate in a drying rack. He opens his refrigerator where a bottle has fallen over and sprayed mustard on the ketchup bottle. He takes out a package of bread, also with mustard on it. With the contents removed, Scott wipes down his fridge, a large pile of paper towels behind him, and Craig T. Nelson as Chief Hyde. Scott makes coffee and places a cup on a saucer and a napkin over the cup. Casting by Mike Fenton, CSA, Judy Taylor, CSA, Linda Gordon and Karen Hendel, CSA. Scott carefully places a pair of pants into a pressing machine, then polishes his shoes. Edited by Garth Craven. Editors Paul Sedor, Mark Conti, Kenneth Morrissey, Lois Freeman Fox. Scott makes minute adjustments to objects on a coffee table. In the bathroom, he flosses thoroughly, then tosses a large pile of floss into the trash. Co-producer Michelle Ader. Production designer John DeCure Jr. Director of Photography, Adam Greenberg, ASC. Scott shifts his head back and forth, examining his face in the mirror. He tweezes a nose hair. Executive producer Daniel Petrie Jr. He tweezes another nose hair. He stands next to his bed in his underwear and twists from side to side. Story by Dennis Shryack and Michael Blodgett. In bed, Scott reads a novel, then turns off the light. Screenplay by Dennis Shryack and Michael Blodgett and Daniel Petrie Jr. and Jim Cash and Jack Epps Jr. Produced by Raymond Wagner. A police car pulls up to City Hall. Directed by Roger Spottiswood. Scott sits at a desk with a man older than him in a brown suit drinking from a mug.
Second and fourth slots from the left. They've done the same with one of these peel-off stickers. It goes right on the file folder. Now, each file folder needs to go into its own Pendaflex folder. You have to make sure it's the appropriate Pendaflex folder.
Well, why does it have to be on the inside folder and the outside folder?
The case number?
Yes.
Because it's the key to the entire system. It also goes on the report, all pages. You punch it with a two-hole punch. You attach it to the file folder on this two-prong fastener. That way nothing ever gets lost. Misdemeanors go in here.
He opens another drawer.
And felonies go in there.
Hey, plenty of room in there.
Why do you think I'm legal? Caseload number is also on the daily caseload sheet. And today, for example, we have two, count them, two calls. Both of them down at the pier. If we drag our feet, they can carry us through to lunch.
Scott walks to a dark-haired woman at a desk.
Happy birthday, Katie.
Thanks, Scott.
Hey, could you give me a call sometime today on the radio?
Call you? About what?
I don't know. Make something up. I'm beginning to think the damn thing's busted. Police officer, out of my way.
Morning.
Good morning, Petey.
Dave!
Scott and the older man Dave step outside. Scott puts on a pair of black-framed glasses as they approach their car. An elderly woman holds a container.
Scott, I made some muffins for you to take with you.
Oh, you didn't have to do that, Mrs. Remington.
God bless you in that awful city. We're all hoping that you don't get shot.
Scott blinks rapidly, then pats her on the shoulder.
Poor boy.
She goes back into a shop and Scott gets in his car, Dave already in the passenger seat. Scott puts on a seatbelt, then looks at Dave.
What? Seatbelt, seatbelt, seatbelt. It's the law. Thank you.
Dave puts on his seatbelt, then shakes his head at Scott and laughs. He lifts the lid of the container.
Ah!
Oh, come on, man. I can't sit here and smell these.
All right. Just make sure it's just one.
He bites into the muffin. Scott uses a handheld vacuum to pick up muffin crumbs from Dave's shirt.
How many days do you have left?
Three.
Good, real good.
Why, am I getting on your nerves?
Oh, no. I mean, I really appreciate you showing me the ropes this week. Letting me ride around in your nice, clean car and treating me like a full-fledged detective.
Investigator.
Whatever. But Scott, when are you going to learn to relax?
I'm relaxed.
Mm-mm. I'm not talking about the small R. I'm talking about the big R. You know, top of old Smokey.
Oh, you mean when am I going to get laid?
Hey.
Oh, well, it's already been four times this morning. I'm exhausted.
A forklift carries a container of dead fish on ice. A man drags another container of fish in front of blue cargo vans. Scott and Dave weave their way around the containers. They walk over a small bridge and down a narrow ramp.
Okay, come on, boys. Mama's going to be mad.
They move down to the dock and a mustached man in a tan parka.
Mr. Boyette.
Hey, Scott. How you doing? I hear we're losing you.
Afraid so. This is David Sutton. He'll be replacing me.
Mr. Boyette.
Come on, boys.
We came down to tell you that...
They found your dinghy over in Moss Landing. You should send somebody to go pick it up.
Yeah, well, thanks. I never thought I'd get to see that again. Hey, Scott, could you show the boys your badge? They never saw a detective's badge before.
Sure.
He's a detective?
Nope, an investigator.
I don't know, Dad. Looks kind of fake to me.
Fake?
Hey, kid, you want to spend some time in jail?
They smile, then walk away.
Cute kids.
Yeah, well, yeah, kids.
They go back up the narrow ramp. Alone, Scott approaches a chain-link fence.
Amos! Amos!
Who's there?
It's me! Scott!
Oh, let me get a leash on him.
Yeah, do that, please! Thank you! Amen.
Scott slowly swings the gate open and steps through. It closes behind him. Dave watches from the car and laughs. Scott moves forward. Rusty equipment, gas cans, and other junk litter the dock. Scott peers around him. He holds a muffin at his side. He strides across the cluttered dock toward a green and navy blue boat, also covered in junk. Scott looks at the boat as he gets closer to it, his fingers gripping the muffin. A huge brown dog with flopping ears and jowls leaps over the bottom part of a door and onto a deck. He runs down wooden stairs as a metal chain hangs from his neck. In slow motion, he gallops toward Scott, his huge jowls flapping with his every movement. Scott holds out the muffin.
Hey, I brought your muffin, boy.
Here's a muffin for you.
Nice little muffin, Hooch. See the muffin? See the muffin, Hooch?
Here's the muffin for Hooch!
I brought a muffin for you!
The muffin, Hooch!
Hooch, a muffin! A muffin, Hooch!
Hooch leaps onto Scott with his front legs, knocking him onto his back. The muffin sails through the air in slow motion, finally landing on the dock. Dave laughs. Hooch has his mouth on Scott's neck, pinning him.
Let him go, Hooch! Let go of him, Hooch! Hooch! Drop him! Drop him, Hooch!
Amos pulls Hooch off Scott.
I'm sorry, Scott. I don't have the hand strength they used to. You're okay, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I was looking forward to a nice, quiet cup of coffee, but now I'm away!
Don't let him see that you're angry. He has a sensitive spot that will react real bad to anger.
What is the matter with him? I brought him a muffin. He knows me!
Oh, no. Well, no, he didn't even break the skin.
Well, this dog loves you, boy. Let's go on up to the house and we'll all have a cookie. Okay, come on, Hooch. Mm-hmm. Let's go, boy. Come on.
Hooch picks up the muffin.
Doc says I shouldn't give him these chocolate chips. Now, what do you say about that, Hooch? I talked to him.
Well, I'm here, Amos. What's the complaint this time?
Them. That seafood plant. There's something going on over there.
Oh, they're okay, other than a stolen dinghy.
No, it's worse than it was before. There's always some strange noises going on at night.
Well, you're always telling me you don't hear like you used to.
Well, anymore. I don't hear it. Hooch hears it. He tells me.
Oh. Hooch tells you about it.
Scott looks down at Hooch.
Well, you live in a pretty industrial area, Amos. If you want peace and quiet, I suggest you just move to a nice apartment somewhere.
Yeah, me and Hooch in an apartment. That'd be the sight.
Scott cleans his jacket.
I thought you didn't mind coming down here.
Oh, I don't mind coming down here. It's just, I'm leaving on Monday, remember? Now, the guy who's replacing me, Sutton, he's not going to want to come down and talk to you like I do because he's scared to death of your dog. I can't figure out why.
Hooch sits at Scott's feet, white drool on his jowls. Amos stands up. Scott does too.
Whoa, all right, that's good.
Scott puts his hands up and sits back down.
Yeah, just sit there and drool over yourself.
Give him whiskey once, and he howled all night.
Nice, sticks to beer.
Amos pours beer into a pot lid for Hooch.
You want some?
No, thank you, I'm not on Hooch's hours.
Hooch licks the lid.
Well, I really have to get going.
Scott stands slowly, keeping his eyes on Hooch.
Moving up to big city, huh?
Yeah.
Well, maybe me and Hooch can come and visit.
You? Anytime.
They shake hands.
Hooch, Sacramento is the state capital. I think they have laws against dogs like Hooch.
Scott walks away and waves at Amos. He waves back.
Stop. It's not that funny.
I'm sorry, man. I can't help it. Every time I think about it, I nearly wet my pants.
So do I. That's why it's not funny.
Delta 1.
Hey, Katie, Turner can't come to the phone right now. He's got a dog on his throat.
just say thank you, and then we're clear.
Thanks for the radio check, Katie. We're clear.
No, it's business, Turner. Some kids found money on Pinecone Beach. So far, they've counted $8,000.
All right. Okay,
Katie, we're on the way. Pronto.
We'll be right there, sure.
Scott puts on his glasses and pulls a U-turn. Near the beach, Scott and Dave approach a woman and two kids by a low wall.
Mrs. Harper?
Oh.
She hands him a bag of cash.
First, I thought it was play money. They had it scattered all over the room.
Wow.
Then when I realized it was real, I had them show me where they found it so I could show you. You suppose more money will wash up here?
Well, I wouldn't count on it.
Here's how this works. If no one claims it or identifies it in 30 days, it's yours.
I found it. It's mine. She can't have any.
Scott!
Well, I'm confiscating it. And if you do get it, you have to use it for college. It's the law.
See?
We have some forms you're going to need to fill out, Mrs. Yes. Harper.
Stop that.
The sun sets in the harbor. At the seafood plant, Boyette talks to a man with slick back hair.
She wanted a formal church wedding, and I said, fine.
Suddenly, it's $2,000 for a wedding dress. Reception with a full bar for $400, and I'm going to end up picking up the tab for the honeymoon. They're talking Bora Bora. Here he is now. Did you want to talk to him?
Yeah. Faraday, I want to talk to you.
The brown-haired Faraday walks off.
Faraday, I'm talking to you!
Faraday breaks into a run. The man and Boyette exchange a look, and he runs after Faraday. Boyette grabs his jacket. Faraday runs outside but is stopped by a man in a black hat.
Right there! What's the hurry?
Faraday turns and runs the other direction. He crosses a wooden ramp onto the docks as the man from Boyette's office chases close behind him. The man throws a knife. Faraday falls, the knife in his leg. They are near Amos's boat. The man shoves a wad of paper in Faraday's mouth. He searches him and finds a wad of cash stuffed in his pants. Boyette walks over, then notices a light on Amos's boat come on. Boyette takes the cash.
For Christ's sake.
You know?
He crouches down.
I feel like an ass. I mean, I take you in, I give you my trust, and what do? You take the food off my kid's plate.
Faraday spits out the wad of paper.
It was there. I just lost my head. It won't happen again, Mr. Boyette.
Boyette nods at the man. He rips the knife out of Faraday's leg, then pulls his head back.
Quiet!
Amos puts on a sweater and looks up at Hooch.
Casey, get rid of him. Zach, see if the old man saw anything. Deal with it.
Zach, the man with slicked back hair, heads toward Amos's boat as Casey, the man with the hat, goes to Faraday's body. Amos exits his boat and walks down onto the dock among his junk. Hooch watches from a window behind metal bars. Amos walks forward.
Hi there. You get out of here. You back off.
Hope I didn't disturb you. You know, I realize we're making sort of a racket over there. In fact, I saw your light come on over here. I realized I woke you up and thought I'd better come over and make sure everything's all right.
Well, you just mind your own business. This is private property.
Okay. But you know what? I'm thinking if we disturbed you, I ought to compensate you a little bit. Now, this is just to make up for any inconvenience.
I don't want any of your money. I've been watching you. I've been seeing what you're doing over there.
And now, wait a minute. I can assure you we're doing nothing wrong over there.
You get the hell off my dock!
No, don't you shut up. You understand?
I'm going to introduce you to my dog.
Amos turns to his boat. Zach grabs Amos from behind. Amos drops to his knees, then collapses. Zach's knife in his back. As Zach bends down to take his knife, Hooch busts through a window and jumps onto the dock. Zach runs. Hooch chases him toward the chain link fence. Zach jumps up and climbs, Hooch nipping at his heels. Zach makes it to the other side and bolts. Hooch paces at the fence. When Zach is out of sight, Hooch turns and runs to Amos's body, lying face down. Hooch sniffs Amos's head and body, then sits next to him and tilts his head up. Scott lies in bed under a purple plaid blanket. He turns and reaches for the phone.
Hello.
Yeah, I am now.
He rubs his face, then leans up, his brow furrowed.
I'll be right there.
Scott, in a suit, runs on the dock toward Amos's boat.
Jill.
Dave stands with two officers with ripped uniforms.
The dog was guarding the body. They had to wrestle him inside.
Did you talk to anybody?
Nobody heard or saw anything. Seafood workers spotted the body.
Scott steps over Amos's body, covered by a blanket.
You ever investigate a murder before?
Are you kidding? I moved here to get away from murder scenes.
Well, everybody's watching, so let's look like we've done this before.
Scott bends down and pulls the blanket off Amos, revealing his shock of gray hair and the knife still in his back. He looks up at Hooch barking through a window. Hooch puts his paw on the metal bars. Dave looks at the dog, then back down to Scott. Scott stands up.
All right. I got 5 rolls of film. Burn it up.
He hands a camera to Dave, who takes photos. Scott thumbs through a stack of evidence bags beside Amos.
Great, it's those jerks from the sheriff's department.
Two men in beige suits arrive at the scene.
Hello there, ladies.
We'll call you if we need any help, Turner.
Foster McCabe, glad to see you. I need coffee with cream. Do you take sugar?
2 sugars.
2 sugars.
That's cute. Look, in the spirit of cooperation, I'd love it if you guys would get the hell out of here. Is that okay?
The pier is our jurisdiction, guys.
Yeah, but the entire county's the sheriff's jurisdiction. You know that.
This is police work, not a lost bicycle.
Excuse me.
Dave steps past them and takes more photos.
Is this a joke? Come on, every little speck of dirt is not evidence. What are you going to do, Turner? Put the entire pier in a little baggie? What is that for?
To preserve what's ever underneath the fingernails.
For what? He was stabbed in the back, for crying out loud.
You never entered.
A man in sunglasses walks over.
You gather it now, you analyze it later.
Right. You read that in a book?
Yeah. I did read that in a book. It was a great big blue book, but I think you would have liked it. It had a lot of pictures.
Hey, turn around. Don't even... Now, wait a second. Hey, we're all upset here. Why don't we just cooperate? We all get our jobs done.
Hey, we just like to examine the body before it decomposes, you know.
All right. Just give me a minute with my guys, would you, please?
Not a problem.
Thanks. Tell you, Scott, we're going to have to turn this over to the sheriff's department.
Why? Why? They couldn't find shoes in a shoebox.
Yeah, well, you're leaving town in a few days. David doesn't have enough experience to handle a
murder investigation. Oh, yeah, but I don't have to be in Sacramento for a whole other week. I was going to take a vacation. I'll just cancel it. We can handle this. David's a very good learner.
And Turner's one hell of a teacher.
What's the point of having investigators on your police force if all we get to investigate is stolen mailboxes? Come on. Howard, I got another paycheck coming. Let me earn it. We can handle this. We won't let you down. We deserve a shot at it.
He looks at Scott and nods.
All right. Just do the best job you can with the time you got, all right?
All right.
Thanks.
Howard faces Foster and McCabe.
Okay. Well, we're willing to share the lab report with you. We'll let you examine any evidence that we gather. Fair enough?
No.
Not fair.
Not fair.
Sounds fair enough to me.
This is our jurisdiction, right?
Amos's body is loaded onto a gurney. Animal control officers with poles approach.
Oh, excuse me. Are you going in there with just these things?
We do this for a living. Stay out of the way.
They walk past Scott, who smiles slightly.
Take this stuff.
Make sure that these are all these nice boxes.
Dave walks off with the box of evidence. Scott looks at Amos's door, which the officers went through. They emerge with their pole collars around Hooch, who struggles, yanking the officers around. Scott smiles as he watches the officers try to wrangle Hooch. Dave looks over his shoulder at the commotion. They pass Scott, and Hooch advances on the male animal control officer. The officer tumbles backwards into the water as a crowd watches from behind the chain link fence. Hooch pulls the female officer.
Whoa, slow down, boy.
He sits down on the chalk outline of Amos's body.
This dog's nuts. We're gonna have to shoot him.
Hey, you're not gonna shoot this dog. He's the closest thing we have to a witness.
Oh, yeah? You think you can handle him? You're nuts.
Where are you going?
She runs away.
He just responds poorly to anger, that's all. David!
What?
David, bring the car around. Up as close as you can. Open up the back door. It's on. Leave the engine running.
Dave runs off. Scott inches toward Hooch.
Hey there, Hooch. Hey, you saw the whole thing, didn't you? Yeah, well, Amos's gone now, so... You don't have a lot of options. Hey, you're either going to work with me, or they're going to shoot you.
Scott holds one of the poles around Hooch's neck.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to try
to make it a little more comfortable. Huh? Oh, don't you just want to think about it? Huh? Here. Watch. How do you do this? Let me just make it a little more.
Scott unhooks one collar from his neck.
Think about it. Maybe we'll get some nice big chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, nice big box of chocolate chip cookies. The soft kind. The kind with 22 chips. The cookie. The kind.
Scott pulls Hooch through the gate of the chain link fence to the waiting car.
Come on, get in the car! Come on.
They go in one side of the car and out the other.
Come on, boys! Come on!
Scott pulls him in front of the car toward the driver's seat.
Come on, Hooch!
He accidentally closes the back door. Scott climbs into the driver's seat through the window. He stares down the pole at Hooch with a smile. Turner's car, with a blue police siren affixed to the top, drives on a hilly road. The animal control pole hangs out his window and Hooch jogs alongside the car. Hooch's ears and jowls bounce and he looks around. Two women walk on the street. One points Hooch out to her friend and several bystanders stare at Scott's car as it passes. Scott has one hand on the wheel and one hand on the pole. He looks out at Hooch and smiles. Hooch wears his chain and leash, which dangles near his legs. Scott pulls over in a suburban neighborhood and stops gently.
Tired? Huh? Hope so. Yeah, that's just too bad. No, look out. Look out. Come on.
Scott pushes Hooch out of the way to exit his car.
Too bad. All right. Hold on.
Scott fixes his tie.
Yeah, you're going in the clinic for a few days, pal. It's gonna be good for you. Come on. Come on, Hooch. Come on.
A collie runs by.
Come. Wait a minute. Whoa! Hooch! Hooch! No! Stop! Stop! Hooch! Hooch! Stop! No!
Hooch chases the other dog around back and through a doggy door, slamming Scott into it. Scott tugs the pole but is pulled halfway through the doggy door.
I'll kill you! No! Hooch!
Hey, what are you doing to this dog?
Oh, just take him for a walk!
Well, he's bleeding! My God, how long has he been bleeding?
Not long enough! You!
Come here.
I'll kill you!
Hey, now I have a front door, you...
I'll shoot you, Hooch!
Well, you stay
I'll
here.
Shoot you,
you just stay right there!
Hey, fix him up so I can shoot him!
The woman in the white coat takes the pole off Hooch and leads him away. Scott struggles to climb all the way through the doggy door and get to his feet. He smooths his suit and tie before following the vet. The vet wipes Hooch's ear. He doesn't fight her.
All done. You stay.
She opens the doors to Scott stretching in the waiting area.
What's your dog's name?
His name's Hooch. But
those wounds needed stitching. When was the last time he saw a vet?
I don't know.
Well, that's neglect. It's borderline abuse. I mean, he's filthy. His diet is terrible, and look, if you cannot...
Well, this is not my dog. He belonged to an old man who lived down by the pier.
Well, then I want to speak to him.
Can't. He was murdered last night.
Oh.
I'm Scott Turner. Oh. I'm a police investigator here.
I know. I mean, we use the same bank. Emily
Carson.
Oh, we
do? Oh,
yes.
Well.
I'm sort of new here, but it's a small town,
all right. So. That's nice to meet you.
I'm sorry about this misunderstanding.
That's quite all right.
I can't stand seeing animals that are mistreated.
Can I ask you a question regarding the dog?
Yes. Come in.
There's a good chance, I think, that he was a witness to the crime. He may have to identify a suspect. Can he do that?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, can I show him, like, a photograph? Like a mugshot? And...
You don't know much about dogs, do you?
Well, no, I never had one. No.
Not even as a kid?
No way.
Well, dogs don't see in two dimensions. I mean, he could recognize a voice or a scent, but not a photo.
All right.
Come on, Hooch. Right. Come on.
Doesn't he have to recoup?
Well, no. He's a little tired, but he's okay. You're a good dog. He is.
Well, you sure are good with animals.
Yeah, I'm a vet. You're buttering me up for
something.
Well,
I just can't help but think that this dog is going to be a lot better off with someone like you than with someone like me, because I don't know.
Are you
thank
married?
You.
She easily gets Hooch in the car.
No.
You live alone, then?
Yeah.
House or an apartment?
House.
Yeah, you have a girlfriend?
No.
Well, perfect.
Perfect for who?
Perfect for Hooch.
For Hooch? How?
When you're home, he'll keep you company, and when you're gone, he'll take care of your house. You're lucky to have him.
Oh, no. I don't have room for a dog like Hooch.
Not many people do. I gotta go work. Goodbye, Scott Turner.
Emily smiles, waves, and goes back into the clinic. Hooch sits tied up on Scott's porch with newspaper laid out. Various bowls of water and juice sit in front of him along with several hamburger buns. Scott lies in a bed with a pillow pressed around his head. Every time Hooch barks, his body jerks. The clock reads 10:02. Scott throws the pillow off him, turns on the light, and storms out of bed.
What? 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 If your
Scott wears a t-shirt and underwear.
Shut up! God! Shut up! This has been going on for 2.5 hours! Be quiet!
Scott rolls back into bed and pulls his blankets over him. He shuts off the light and rolls onto his stomach. He lifts up and glances over his shoulder. The clock reads 10:04. He squirms. His body jerks. He reaches over and turns on the light.
All right. You tell me what I'm supposed to do. You tell me what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to do? You tell me. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do, Hooch? Am I supposed to stand out on the porch all night long? Hey, shut up! I'm a policeman! What's your car towed?
Scott turns back to Hooch and purses his lips. The dog looks up at him, drool on his mouth. Scott unties him, and Hooch runs into the house. Scott tries the door handle. He lifts a trash can up to the window, but puts it back down.
Oh, you stupid dog!
Still in his underwear, Scott walks down the porch steps and over to a window. He tries it, and it's unlocked. Hooch comes running and jumps up on the window.
Oh, you want to chew my head off? Go ahead! You'll be trapped inside, you'll starve to death! That is, they don't find my body first and then shoot you! You're in my house! Back off! I'm coming in! Back off, Hooch!
Scott stares at him sternly.
Back off.
Hooch gets off the window. Scott stares him down and he sits. Scott slowly opens the window, Hooch's slobber smeared on it. He climbs through over moving boxes. He grabs his back, then closes the window.
Now, if we're going to get along, we're going to have to come to a certain understanding.
Hooch looks up at him.
All right, these are the simple rules. No barking, no growling. You will not lift your leg to anything in this house. This is not your room.
Scott turns off the kitchen light. He turns on the living room light.
No slobbering, no chewing. You will wear a fleet collar. This is not your room.
He shuts off the light and turns one on in another room.
No begging for food, no sniffing of crotches, and you will not drink from my toilet. This is not your room.
Scott turns off his bedroom light.
This is your room.
He leads Hooch into the laundry room.
The rest of the house is mine. When I come back into my house, I like to find everything where I put it. Everything in its place. Now you don't touch my stuff and... certainly won't touch any of yours.
Hooch shakes, slobber flying in the air.
Well, this is the room to do that. This is your bed.
He lays down towels.
Follow these very simple rules. Shut up. You'll get along fine.
Scott leaves, closing the door behind him. Hooch stares at the door. Two uniformed cops talk outside City Hall in front of the police station doors. Scott pulls up and parks. He opens his door, keeping eyes on the back seat, then closes the door gently. The back seat window is half open, and Hooch lies on his back with his paws in the air.
Hey, Scott.
Scott takes off his glasses and goes into the police station. As soon as he's gone, Hooch sits up and looks out the window. Hooch turns forward and starts to gnaw on a corner of the driver's seat headrest. He rips away some of the material, exposing the foam underneath. He continues tearing apart the headrest, shaking the fabric in his mouth. Dave sits at his desk, reading a report.
So what does it tell you?
Not much.
I never read an autopsy report before, and I just as soon never read one again.
Autopsy reports are cornerstone in any homicide investigation, and this one tells us that the perpetrator probably had special combat training.
Where did you see that?
Right here. The murder weapon penetrated the body between the third and fourth ribs at an upward angle, entering the right lung at a depth of 2 inches, severing the pulmonary.
I read that. The victim was stabbed from behind on the right side of the rib cage, which would make the killer right-handed.
Yeah, but you're missing something. Now, you stab somebody in the heart, they can still scream, but you penetrate the lung, they can't even let out a whisper. They're trained to do that in special forces.
Well, that wasn't in the report. How do you know that?
I'm a professional investigator. It's my business to know these things. Besides, I called the coroner. He told me.
Hey, fellas.
Howard comes over with a box.
How much do you think we could get for all of the furniture here in the office? Or I got a better idea. How about we sell a couple of squad cars, starting with yours first, Turner?
Is there a problem, Howard?
Well, yeah, there sure is. I mean, the county crime lab wanted to charge me $7,280 for this stuff. Now, suppose I send all of this in. Who do you suggest I lay off?
Scott and Dave exchange a look, then glance back at Katie.
Katie? Katie wouldn't mind making the sacrifice, would you, Katie?
I've sacrificed enough for you.
Hey! We'll thin this out, Howard. I'll go through it. Don't worry. I'll thin it out.
The police station door swings open, and Scott comes out. He slows as he approaches his car.
No, you're eating the car! Don't eat the car! Not the car!
Oh, what am I yelling at you for? You're a dog.
I don't understand a word I'm saying. Doesn't matter anyway. This car is going to be David Sutton's in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Here, you hungry? Here's an ashtray. Eat that.
At night, Scott walks through his house. He has his keys in his mouth as he ties the bottom of his sweatshirt. When he reaches the door, he turns back and drops his keys into his hand. Scott looks around the room, then leaves the house. Hooch stares at the laundry room door. Scott grabs a can of dog food off a grocery shelf, an employee next to him.
You know, it's a terrible thing about Amos. I'm locking my door tonight for the first time in years.
Oh, no, don't do that. We'll catch the guy.
Hooch gets to his feet and stares at the door. He backs up, then takes a run at it. The door remains intact. Hooch backs up and charges again. He rams the door with his head to no avail. He tries again. This time, his big head bursts through the bottom of the door, the wood splintering away as he pulls his body through. Hooch goes into the kitchen and paws at the lower cabinets. He uses his mouth and grabs a knob and opens one. He pulls out popcorn, bread, dried pasta, cereal, and napkins. He scratches at the cereal box, crushed popcorn at his feet.
Is this dog food? It says turkey and bacon.
Oh yeah, you know, people love their dogs, so they want a variety.
Hooch stands on the kitchen counter and knocks bottles and canisters onto the floor. He spills dried goods on the ground, then uses his paw to open the fridge.
What kind of dog are we talking about here?
Oh, very, very, very big, very large, very tall, very, very wide, massive, ugly.
Ah, well, you don't need this. What you need is this.
The employee heaves a huge bag of dried dog food into Scott's arms. Hooch eyes the open fridge. He sticks his head in the bottom shelf, knocking over its contents. He dislodges the top shelf and sweeps items onto the floor. He uses his mouth to grab a can of beer from a side compartment. He holds it between his paws and punctures the top with a tooth. A stream of beer shoots up and Hooch licks at it. He picks up another can. Scott pushes a loaded cart down the aisle.
I don't even like the dog, Kevin. Why would I get him a toy?
Because dogs like to choose, Scott. I mean, it's either chew this or your furniture or your shoes. It's up to you.
Scott grabs several. Hooch pulls at fabric from the torn arm of the couch. He rips off a shred of the gray material. The huge dog looks up at a shelving unit where a soccer ball sits in one of the upper bins. He jumps up, knocking the whole thing over. The ball rolls and Hooch pounces on it. The ball knocks over Scott's bedroom lamp. The ball hits the stereo, which turns on. Hooch stares at the speaker right in front of him. He knocks it on its side and pulls at the fabric covering the speaker. He scratches at the woofer, the fabric now gone. He shakes, spit flying onto the stereo.
What, the
thank you, Kevin, for taking all this time away from
me. Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure.
Dog shampoo.
Oh, wait. That's regular. No, what you need is, yeah, medicated. There, that's what you need. That's a flea, tick, wormer.
Pooch pushes one of Scott's boxes. He walks by with Venetian blinds around his neck, then two of Scott's shirts on his back.
Scott! Case of bad breath. Regular or minty?
Scott takes the box of minty.
Thank you.
Pooch rolls on the ground among Scott's strewn about clothing. He shakes and sends drool flying onto the furniture, TV, and Scott's clothes. The cashier rings up Scott.
97.51.
What? Is that pesos? This is for a dog. This is dog food. 97.51? I'm not going to eat this stuff. Did I buy smoked salmon? 97.51. How much if I take this back? I'd like to talk to Kevin. Can you call him, please? Kevin!
Scott unlocks his door, grocery bags in hand. His brow furrows when he spots the hole in the laundry room door. He swings the door open and steps into the kitchen. The floor is littered with broken dishes and crushed food. Scott surveys the room as he puts down his grocery bags, one falling down. He steps on a bowl and empty boxes slide in front of him as he shuffles through the kitchen. He takes out a bottle of cleaning solution and sprays it on the counter, which has several broken eggs on it. He wipes the area with a wad of paper towels, but leaves them in the cleaner on the counter. He bends down and lifts a clear plastic organizer, but it's upside down and the contents spill out. He gathers a few erasers back into their container, then grips a pair of scissors from the floor. He rises to his feet, holding the scissors as if they're a knife. He steps over dried lentils and beans scattered on the floor. Scott drops the scissors, then crouches down and lifts a record, drool dripping off of it. He drops the record, then runs his hands along the broken speaker. He picks up a torn record cover. When he takes out the record, he finds only half of it and tosses it away. He touches the soccer ball, wet with drool. He rubs his fingers together as he stands, forming a fist. He kicks the ball and it breaks his window. When Scott walks into his bedroom, he finds Hooch on the bed, licking himself on disheveled blankets. Hooch lays his head on a pillow and looks at Scott. Scott grabs the pillow and pushes it against Hooch. The dog grabs hold of it, and they tug until the pillow rips, feathers falling out.
Oh, that's it! I'm getting my gun! My rug, my teeth, my iron, my heater, my gas!
Scott gets a gun from a box in the closet. Hooch leaves. Scott peers out from behind his closet door. He walks over and inspects a French door with a window broken. He lifts the Venetian blinds to look outside.
Do not come back!
Scott drops a full trash bag into a trash can and another bag into a different can. Inside, he works on his speaker with a screwdriver. He stops working and turns toward the door.
Oh, wow. Wow. That dog's got a lot of guts. That is stupid.
No!
He works again.
You are out! Out. Out for good! Forget it! I wish it was snowing!
No, I wish it was hailing. I wish it was hailing, God. Send me hail. Hail the size of cantaloupes. If you're a just and fair God.
The door shakes.
No! Cut it!
Scott gets up.
No, they're running out of doors!
Hooch steps in and looks at Scott. The collie from the animal clinic stands next to Hooch.
Oh, no, she cannot spend the night!
Scott's car pulls up to the animal clinic, all dark except for the porch light. He parks the car and gets out. He walks around the car and Hooch has his head out the window.
Get back.
not you. No, no, no. Come on. Not you. Just her. Get back in the car.
Scott pushes Hooch in, then stops.
Wait a minute. What am I doing?
What am I doing? Go ahead, Hooch. Go ahead. Go, Hooch. Go.
The collie sits in front of the doggy door.
Go, go. Go ahead. Go, boy. Go. Follow her. Follow her, boy.
She wants you, man.
This is why she's doing this, so you'll follow her. In, in, in. Go in, go in, go in.
Hooch follows her in.
Hi.
Emily on the porch with a flashlight.
Scott Turner, right?
Yeah, I was looking for my dog. Have you seen him?
Yeah, I noticed. You know anything about fuses?
Electrical fuses?
Yeah. Can you come in for 2 minutes? Just 2 minutes?
A fuse box?
Come in.
Sure.
He stands in a dark hallway. A light comes on.
Bedroom light is on.
Huh? What? What?
The bedroom light is on.
So tell me when the bathroom light goes on.
Emily works on a fuse box. Scott paces around.
Hey.
The walls are partially painted pink, and Scott grabs a rag and wipes the trim.
Hey!
No, not yet.
He continues to wipe as Emily looks at the fuse box in the dark. She comes into the room to find Scott spreading out a drop cloth on the floor. He picks up a cup of paint.
Look, thank you, but,
Your lights are on. This is gonna take you all night, you know.
No, actually, I just quit.
You're just gonna leave it like this?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, I'm gonna start again tomorrow, but...
Well, you don't have to help, but there's a couple of rollers there and an extra brush.
This really bothers you.
This would make me nuts, yeah.
They paint next to each other.
Harder to cut in a big town than it is in a small town.
Oh, that's a crock.
Oh?
In a big town, you're anonymous. You make your mistakes, you know, who sees it? Who cares? In a small town, you gotta look everybody right in the eye.
Well, there's a lot more to it than that.
Well, that's true. You'll probably have better luck with women. Women in big cities outnumber the men, so they're more desperate.
Thank you very much. You know, if you have opinions about anything, I want to encourage you to express them. Don't be shy. Just...
Well, you're better off here. It's a wonderful town to raise kids in.
No, I don't have kids.
No, I want 5 kids.
You got a dad, man. Have you got a dad picking up for these 5 kids?
No.
Yet?
No? Not yet.
Well, let me fill you in on the Cypress Beach single scene.
God, I hate that phrase, a single scene.
There's Ember's Cocktail Lounge. Or what else? I guess the Dairy Queen, but I usually arrest guys my age who are hanging out at the Dairy Queen, because I'm pretty opinionated. You want to have those 5 kids, so...
I am.
And we are...
Hi-ya.
Finished.
They turn and look at the painted room.
This is good.
Doesn't it feel good?
This feels very good. Huh? I gotta admit.
The collie and Hooch lie under a table. The collie drinks water from a red dish. Scott washes a paint roller in the sink. Emily comes over and sets a glass beside him.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
He dries his hands, and they lift their glasses. They each take a sip of beer as they face each other.
You have paint all over you. It's even up in your hair.
Look at you. You don't even have it on your hands. Spots.
He takes another sip, and they gaze at each other.
I have some packing that I still have to do.
Right.
He opens the front door and she goes out ahead of him. They stand on the porch.
Well, it's a nice night.
Yeah.
I have to walk Camille. You want to take a walk with me?
No. No.
No?
No. Well, you see, I'm starting to like you, and if we go on a walk, I'm just going to like you even more. Then one day we might even end up in love, and everything will go along fine for a while, but then one day, bang, you're going to call me a selfish, compulsive bastard, and you're going to pull your hair out, and you're going to scream, and you're going to say you never want to see me again because I drive you crazy, and I'm left shattered. Now, who needs that? Good night. Hooch!
Scott heads to his car, and Hooch comes trotting out of the house with the collie. The collie stands by Emily, and Hooch jumps into the car.
What time do you want to tackle that hallway tomorrow night?
About 7.
Scott nods and goes to the driver's seat. Emily smiles, and the two dogs stare at each other. Hooch watches as Scott hammers boards onto the broken laundry room door. He puts down the hammer and looks at the dog. Scott goes to the back door and fastens a lock.
Good night, Houdini.
He closes the door behind him, leaving Hooch to watch him go through the gaps in the boards. In slow motion, a flashback to Hooch running towards Scott on the dock. He jumps from Amos's boat and gallops forward, his ears and jowls bouncing with every step, revealing his sharp teeth. Scott's eyes open. He lies in bed and blinks a few times. He sits up and runs his hand through his hair. He looks to his side with a creased brow at a large lump under his blankets. He pulls off the covers and exposes Hooch lying in bed with his head on the pillow. Hooch stirs, then lays his head back down. Scott rolls his eyes upward and blinks rapidly. Scott fills the bathtub with water, then turns off the faucet. He walks back into his bedroom.
Okay, boy! Guess what? It's time for a bath!
Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on back! Good go!
Scott tries to pull Hooch off the bed, but he doesn't budge. He grabs the blankets, but they just come out from under the heavy dog. Scott drags the mattress off the bed, Hooch on top of it. Scott wraps a sheet over Hooch, who now stands on the box spring. He pulls the sheet toward the bathroom, with Hooch stuck inside. Wearing just black underwear, Scott kneels in the bathroom doorway trying to keep Hooch inside. He grabs onto the dog, but Hooch gets out and goes back to the box spring. Scott attacks Hooch with the sheet, throwing it over his head and lifting the dog onto the ground. Scott drags him to the bathroom. Scott pushes Hooch toward the bathtub, but stumbles over him and falls into the tub himself. In his backyard, Scott screws together two red poles. He eyes Hooch. Scott stands with a smile, holding a rotary brush attached to the red pole and hose.
This is why man will prevail and your kind will never dominate the earth.
He turns on the water.
This is what you can do if you've got thumbs.
Scott uses the brush to scrub Hooch, who is tied up.
Huh? Move around. Move around. I don't care. There you go. Oh, what a ferocious dog. Get your armpits here. Your undercarriage.
Scott smiles as he tosses the rotary brush and pole away. Hooch shakes vigorously, a flurry of water droplets spraying off his body. Scott shakes too, water splashing from his hair. He goes inside. Now, dressed in a button-up shirt and slacks, Scott ties his shoe. He goes to put the other one on, but stops when he has his foot inside. He slowly pulls the shoe off, the tip of his sock soaked in drool. He holds up the shoe and drool drips out the side. Scott looks at it with disgust. Outside a church, with flowers adorning the entrance, people attach cans to the back of a white limo. Scott drives by and parks on the corner diagonal from the church. He has Hooch next to him. The group outside the church grows larger and people socialize. Scott goes to the passenger side. Hooch has his head out the window.
If I leave you in the car, you're just going to eat the rest of it. Come on.
Scott holds Hooch's leash. People walking in front of Scott look back at Hooch and hurry away. Scott enters the police station with the dog. A blonde woman backs away from him.
Turner, what the hell is that?
Come here.
You can't put a dog in here.
Can you lift up this desk?
Dave lifts the desk and Scott slides the handle of the leash under the leg.
Something different about you.
I like to think so, yeah.
Oh, I know what it is. No tie. This is the first time since I've known you that you haven't worn a tie on the job.
Turner.
Yeah?
The dog's in the windowsill.
Oh, Hooch, get out of here. Hooch.
Hooch spots Zach taking photos of wedding guests.
Well, what can I do, Katie? The dog loves weddings.
The bride and groom pose for a photo with the wedding party. Zach turns and sees Hooch barking from the window.
Hooch, knock it off.
Hooch jumps down, then back up to the window.
Hooch, shut up. Shut up, Hooch. Come on, shut up.
It's good to get the hell out of here.
Boyette wears a tux and talks to Zach. Hooch turns from the window and pulls the desk. Scott jumps on top of it, and Hooch drags it across the room. It hits objects, then comes to a stop, Scott tumbling off. Hooch looks out another window.
What is it? What's the matter?
Hooch takes off again, knocking Scott down. He drags the desk until it gets caught on the stairs, and his leash comes loose.
Dave! Police officers! How you doing, Petey? Dave!
Right behind you!
I'm fine.
Hooch runs out of the station with Scott and Dave in pursuit. Hooch runs down the street and into the pack of wedding guests. Scott sprints after him. Hooch sniffs, then changes direction. Hooch weaves his way through the crowd and pushes between the bride and groom. He breaks free of the horde and sprints down the street toward Zach, who looks over his shoulder as he runs away. Scott sees Hooch chasing Zach. Zach reaches his car and frantically climbs in. Hooch jumps up on his window, pawing at the opening. Scott rushes to catch up as Zach tries to start the car. Hooch scratches at the window. Zach pulls away and Hooch chases him for a moment, then slows down. He watches the car go as Scott and Dave run hard.
Dave, you seen that guy before?
No! I can't see his plates! I don't have my glasses!
Hold it! Police officers, we need your car! Bye, Ernie! God! Come on, buckle your seatbelt!
Buckle
your seatbelt!
I can't drive my seatbelt, no!
They get in the tiny red car.
Well, we gotta stop and get Hoots!
Ernie is trapped between them.
Come on, boy! Come on, Hoots! Get in the car! Come on! Into it! Good boy! Come on, Hoots! Watch his tail!
Hooch gets in the back.
My mom is gonna kill me. She told me not to take this thing over 40. It's brand new. She's gonna kill me. I'm dead.
Calm down, Ernie. You gotta do this to break it in. Your mom will thank you for it.
Hang on.
She's stepping on my mom's groceries.
Slap him across the face. It'll stop.
Hooch drools.
All right. What is that?
It's
what
a black
it?
Cadillac.
What is it? No. What is the license plate?
Oh,
I can see the car.
Wait. P-K-I.
No,
it's a P-K-I.
P-K-I. Shut up, Ernie.
PKI.
Zach spots the red car behind him.
RKI 547.
RKI 547.
All right,
hang on. He saw it. Come on.
Zach swerves around a car. Hooch rests his head on Ernie's shoulder.
Which way?
I think he went right.
Which way?
Right. I'm sure
but
it's
don't
right.
Don't guess. It's right. Okay.
They take a right turn. Scott stops and gets out.
Highway patrol hears about that. I'm out of a job before I even start.
Hey, Turner, don't worry about it. It'll be our little secret.
What's the matter with your mom? She can't get a car with some muscle.
Howard enters the station.
Well, you boys really livened up the reception. The bride burst into tears and swore she was going to have nightmares the rest of her life because of that dog.
Fortunately, the Boyettes thought you were trying to capture the beast.
Hey, Turner, it's here.
And the mayor did, too.
I, of course, did not tell them it was your runaway pet. And it now become the station mascot.
Don't raise your voice around like that, Howard. You'll set him off again.
Oh, come on. He's chained to a radiator suit. That doesn't matter.
Zach Gregory is a former Marine with 3 arrests on his record. Assault with a deadly weapon, transportation of district firearms, and extortion. No convictions. Monterey PD says that address and phone number were false.
So who is he?
The guy Hooch was just chasing, the man he saw kill Amos Reed.
You're kidding. Think this is the guy?
Yeah.
Scott wrinkles his nose.
What? Gee.
They sniff and look over at Hooch stretched out on the floor.
Jeez. Well, congratulations, you broke the case.
Well, we don't have him yet.
Yeah, there's no motive, Howard. Amos wasn't killed in a robbery or a pattern crime or in a fight.
We think maybe he was killed to cover something up.
This Zach guy is employed by Boyette Seafood. Now, Amos was always complaining about strange noises down there at night, like something illegal was going on.
Dave opens a window.
Caden, could you swing the door open, please? We're going to need some air in here.
Amos complained about everything, Turner.
Yeah, and now he's dead, Howard. I think we need to assume that he was right. Now, consider it. It's an isolated spot down there. There's fishing boats coming and going out all the time. Now somebody's killed? Drugs, Howard. Now, I know we don't have the personnel, and we'll never have a warrant with the stuff that we have so far, but it sure would be nice if we could search that place.
Yeah, all right. I guess I can handle that. I mean, boy, it's a friend of mine. What's he gonna say, no?
Scott chops meat.
Yeah, DEA agents, customs guys, the CHP, two shifts of our own guys, plus all sorts of local cops. This is gonna be the biggest search in the Central Coast since, what, since probably World War II, and it's all because of you. We're gonna go through, boy, and it's like bacon through a duck and bust us a smuggling operation. This is our chocolate chip cookies. Chocolate chip.
Hooch doesn't eat.
Something to drink? It's not gonna hurt me at all if we impress some of those CHP guys. That's gonna look good on their resume. Give me maybe a little job security in the future. Nothing wrong with that. There you go.
He sets down a beer.
Well, come on, you're not eating. Go ahead. Go ahead, this is a celebration, Hooch. You ID'd Zach Gregory. Amos's murder is all but solved. So, go. Open your beer.
Hooch sniffs the beer, then sits back up. Scott looks at him.
What, you thinking about Amos? Huh? You must miss him.
His ears perk up.
Yeah, well, I forget sometimes that this must be pretty hard on you. Everything's so different. You and I got off to a pretty bad start, and my place isn't exactly a rusty shack filled with junk, but not yet anyway. You can keep working on it. Okay?
Scott reaches up and scratches under Hooch's ear.
You like that? You like that? Oh, you do. You like that. Well, here, let me do this side as well. Huh? You're not so rough. You're not so mean. You're not any kind of a monster dog, are you? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Look at that. Look at those big. What are you doing? Give me that breath. Give it.
Hooch pulls on one end of Scott's towel. Scott puts the other end in his own mouth. He puts it back in his hands.
All right, then.
Scott runs through the house playing keep away with a towel. He jumps on the couch, Hooch on his heels. He holds the towel by its ends, and Hooch grabs the middle. Scott wrestles him to the ground, Hooch's paws flailing. Scott leans over Hooch, who lies on his side. Scott opens his mouth wide and playfully chomps down on Hooch's neck.
Well, if any of my employees are involved in anything illegal, I'm happy to cooperate, I guess.
Don't understand it.
When was the last time you saw Zach Gregory?
Yesterday, at the wedding. He didn't show up for work last night.
Well, the Monterey police checked out his address. It was a motel, and they never heard of him.
If he shows up for his paycheck, I'll call you.
Boyette shrugs. Howard walks over to several police cars.
All right, let's go, guys! Come on!
I don't want any of the sheriff's department guys handling any of this stuff alone. Let's make sure one of our guys is with them all the way.
Scott and Dave walk into the plant. Dave opens a box.
Eight fish.
Scott leads officers past conveyor belts. Dave walks slowly, his eyes downcast and searching. Scott talks to two officers, tapping a box on the conveyor belt. An officer pulls open the back of a truck, revealing boxes. A block of ice rolls out of an enclosure on a conveyor belt. An officer in a suit crawls out behind it, a flashlight in his mouth.
Move these filing cabinets out, and then go through these one by one.
Boyette checks his watch. Scott drags a yellow pole across the bottom of a live lobster tank. Dave looks in a truck and finds beers in a cooler. Dave empties a plastic tub and examines it.
Maybe we came on the wrong day.
Howard, I apologize. I'm sorry. We really let you down.
Come on, forget it. Can't expect things to pan out every time, can you? Besides, you got a new job waiting for you. Let you go home and pack up and get ready. David, the case is now yours.
Howard hands Dave a clipboard, and they both walk away. At home, Scott holds a phone to his ear, papers laid out in front of him.
Foster, the guys in Monterey told me you sheriffs did the initial go-see on Zach Gregory, but the DMV says they sent his vehicle registration on the black Cadillac to the Lazy Acres Motel. So I'm just trying to determine how you discovered that it was a false address. What did you do, just call them up on the phone?
His eyes widen.
You didn't even go down for an interview? You didn't show them a photo? All right, look, I need surveillance done on the Lazy Acres Motel to locate Zach Gregory. Yes, he's the prime suspect in the Amos Reed murder, that's why. Yes, he is. He is legitimate. I have an eyewitness, kind of. I am not telling you how to do your job. I am a law enforcement officer, and you are too, kind of, and I'm asking you for a professional courtesy. Don't hang up on me! Oh, what a dumb cop.
Hooch comes and lays his head in Scott's lap.
Scott Turner. Oh, hi. Hey, how's the town vet?
Hooch runs on the beach with the collie, Camille.
Just keeps clicking around inside my brain. What Amos told me about that place. There's something going on.
I don't know. I can't figure it out. And I can't stop thinking about it.
Maybe you should.
No.
Stop thinking about it. Well, when I have a problem that I can't get anywhere with, sometimes I just...
They walk on the beach.
Think of something completely different, and then that's when the solution comes. Bang, just like that, out of nowhere.
Well, that's fascinating. I don't work that way, all right?
Well, try.
Oh, I can't. I don't,
Well, I'll help.
I don't know how.
I'm thinking about something else. What am I thinking about?
Oh, don't. Don't. Don't even. I don't know what you're thinking about.
Great. So you've never thought about it?
Never thought about what?
Emily closes her eyes and glances away.
Thought about that. Well. Yes, I'm a guy. Yes, yeah. I've thought about that.
How far did you get?
Well, I got to unbutton the top button of your blouse.
I got a lot farther than that.
You did? How far? A lot farther.
A lot farther.
She leans in close.
I didn't know there was a farther.
Well, you have to use your imagination.
Well, then that's got to be illegal.
Probably is.
Scott and Emily kiss, their arms wrapped around each other on a rocky part of the beach as waves crash behind them. In the dark, Scott unlocks a padlock on the fridge and hangs the key on a hook. He gets out a carton of orange juice and drinks from it.
Ew, right from the carton?
Mm. Oh, God, a woman in my house. How'd that happen?
She drinks from the carton.
Mm. Hey, how's your back?
Well, it's regained some of its elasticity, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, this thing is empty.
Mm-hmm.
What are we gonna do about it?
Well, most of my grocery budget's been blown on my dog, but we could manage the...
There's eggs.
Perfect omelet.
Oh, that's great. So terrible.
No. I think we was the operative word there. You're very lovely in the light.
I don't do this.
That's where it all happens. We have cheese.
Oh, come on. I'll mess up your kitchen.
Well, I'm not going to cook for you, woman, because you wore me out.
Did I? We could call for pizza.
Don't worry. I'll walk you through this, doctor. That's an omelet pan, not a book.
Oh, geez. You have a pan just for your omelet?
Just whisk.
He leans down and kisses her backside. She jumps with a smile. He leans on the counter and motions for her to get to work. She goes to crack an egg.
I'm hungry, too.
Oh, come on, I'm doing
it. I'd like to eat sometime in the next 5 hours.
What's happening?
There we go, and great. Now,
Mix that up, and then we'll throw in the other stuff. No, that's stirring. This is how you mix.
No, I can
this
think
is
I'm...
how you mix it.
He puts his arms around her and mixes.
Oh, God. Do that again.
You like that?
Oh. Yeah. She presses into him again.
Oh, you feel so good. You smell so good.
She turns to face him, and they embrace, kissing passionately. She has her arms draped over his shoulders. Oh. He lifts her up. He puts her back down.
What?
Oh, Jesus, of course! Oh! What? They're not bringing something in! How can I... Oh! Oh! The thing that I wasn't thinking of it!
Oh, the thought.
Yes! Bang!
Well, that...
Hits me right out. That's never
you.
Happened to me. I gotta get another look inside that place. They're smuggling something out!
So does this mean I'll be eating alone?
I'm sorry, but yeah. I tell you what, I'll make it up to you. Tomorrow night, have you ever been down to that Italian place down in San Rapallo? They make a lasagna down there. It's not a great lasagna, but it is a good lasagna. It's good. I make better, but you want to go tomorrow night?
So you're going to be here another night?
Oh, yes.
Well.
Oh, yeah, yes.
He walks over and kisses her repeatedly.
Yeah, another night. At least. Hooch! Come on, boy!
He's outside.
What is he doing outside?
With Camille.
Oh, listen, would you clean this stuff up when you're done, all right? Just leave it. Never mind. It's all right. All right, you got it. Oh, God, what time?
7. I'll meet you here.
I'll meet you here! Hooch! Hooch, come on! Hooch, put that down! Come on!
Scott's car sits outside the seafood plant at night. From the driver's seat, Scott looks through binoculars. Hooch sits beside him.
So this your first stakeout? It's mine. Well, it's gonna be a long night, so what do you say we prepare for it, huh? Trying to stay alert. Shall we? That one? There you go. Special treat. What? Whoa. That's good.
He watches Hooch gobble the dog biscuit. He takes another biscuit out of the box and sniffs it. He takes a tiny bite.
They're hard.
He takes a bigger bite and nods.
Well.
Scott chews the dog biscuit.
It's not bad. Tastes like health food. You can have this.
He pushes it into Hooch's mouth, but it starts to slide out.
Back in there. Now, back to work.
Scott puts his glasses back on.
It was called Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp. It was like, you know, like the man from Uncle. Like, did Ames have a TV? Oh, wait, it's two-dimensional. You couldn't see it. It was these chimps, and they were supposed to be spies, and they were dressed up in suits and stuff, and they wear hats and smoke cigarettes. You miss it. It was good. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was good, though, too. That was a good show. It was a cool show. It was on Mondays at 9. It wasn't Lancelot Link's secret.
Scott slaps his knee. A now straight-faced Scott stares forward. Hooch licks his lips. Hooch shakes vigorously, the skin on his face jiggling.
What does that do for you, huh? That feel good? Wake you up a little bit?
Scott shakes his head, imitating Hooch. He stops and grips the steering wheel.
I guess you have to be a dog.
Hooch tilts his head.
Maybe I should. I had the enlistment papers all filled out. All that kind of stuff was sent, but I have this thing with distance vision, you know, so no flight school for me. If you're in the Air Force and you're not in flight school, well, it means you're scraping bird shit off of some runway in Guam for 2 years, so here I am. I'm boring you.
Hooch just looks at him. Scott bites into an apple.
Come on, I got you something. Here. I got you. A Diet Coke. Diet, because look at that. Kind of start working on that. you know, we've known each other for a while now. I think it's safe for me to say, but are you aware of your drooling problem? I mean, it looks like you swallowed a tennis shoe and you got the laces hanging out. It's, you know, it's a bit embarrassing, don't you think? Maybe you could save that. Is there a use for this stuff, like as an industrial lubricant or something?
Drool drips on the seat.
Good God. I need to say what you're doing in the car.
Boats sit in the harbor in the morning light. Amos's boat looks the same, still piled with junk. Scott looks through his windshield and squints as a police car pulls up to him at the seafood plant. It's Dave, who parks next to him and gets out.
Hey.
Did you bring it?
Yeah, I brought it. You do know that we have to take it back.
Yeah, we'll take it back. We'll take it back. Come on, Hooch. Come on. Listen, I saw Boyette leave, so let's get this over with before he comes back.
Wait a minute, what about getting permission?
Oh, David, why don't you relax?
Relax? Oh, wait a minute. There's something not right here. You got that look in your eye.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. You hump the vet.
Oh, hump the vet. You have a lot of class. I happen to have a religious experience with the future Mrs. Scott Turner, who happens to, yes, she holds a doctorate in veterinary medicine.
An employee walks over.
Get that ugly mutt out of here.
Sorry, we're police officers. This is a police dog, and we just want to have a look around.
You were here yesterday.
Well, the dog wasn't available yesterday.
This dog is a big problem. He's a major health code violation.
Well, I don't understand what the hassle is. I spoke with Mr. Boyette. He said he'd be happy to cooperate.
Dave looks down.
Well, if he said it's okay, then I guess it's okay.
Thank you, liar. What?
Boyette didn't tell you that.
He sure did. Yesterday.
Dave rolls his eyes and Scott pulls on Hooch's leash.
Come here, boy.
They duck into an open office. Scott gets out the package Dave gave him, the money found on the beach.
Okay, Hooch. Let's find some money, huh? Can you? Can you find some money? Huh? Huh? Smell that money. Find me some, okay?
Yeah, find some for me too, Hooch.
Go find it, Hooch.
What makes you think these things are connected?
You know why I took that job in Sacramento?
Yes, because nothing ever happens in Cypress Beach, but what has that got to do with anything?
There's been two unusual incidents in town all year. Amos's murder and $8,000 found on the beach. They happened a day apart from each other. Now, maybe there's a connection. Maybe they're not.
Hooch sniffs all around the plant.
What is it, Hooch?
Hooch goes behind a stack of boxes. He picks up a roll of plastic baggies and brings it out.
What, you got something, boy? What is it? What you got? What is this? What you got? Huh?
Scott takes the bags and unrolls one. He holds it up to the bag with the money.
Look at this. This is a perfect match. The same size, the same brand, everything.
That's a good boy. Ooh, yeah, way to go. Good going.
All right, you guys. I just talked to Mr. Boyette. He never gave you permission to bring a dog in here. He's furious, and I hope he sues the crap out of you.
Hey, well, we're done anyway. Thanks very much. Come on, boy. Come on, Hooch. Oh. There we go. Come on. Come on.
You know, I could get fired over this. Fine for you. You have another job to go to. Me, I happen to like a town where nothing ever happens.
Oh, don't worry. I'll take the blame for it. I'll talk to Boyette, and I'll work it out with him, and then I'll call Howard as well. Do the same.
All right, what should I do?
Well, we need to find out how common these plastic bags are, if you can just pick them up in a supermarket or if they're a special order kind of thing. So check out all the businesses, stores, hardware, things like that. Then park the car, turn off the radio, take a nap.
Because if you're in on what I'm doing next, you will get fired.
Scott drives at night, slight stubble on his face. He looks over at Hooch in the passenger seat. Lights and glowing signs illuminate the darkness out the car window. Scott pulls into the parking lot of a motel with a sign that reads, Motel. He parks and Hooch sits up in his seat.
You stay in the car.
Scott takes off his glasses as he approaches the front door. He enters the dingy lobby where a man in a tank top sits in a back room holding a beer and watching TV. Scott raises his eyebrows at him. The man looks up briefly.
No vacancy.
Scott eyes the bell.
Speak English, moron. No vacancy.
Scott holds up his badge. The man stands and comes to the front desk.
You got a warrant. Get lost.
Know him?
Never seen him.
Zach's mugshot.
Oh, come on now. I don't have a lot of experience being one of these intimidating policemen. I've never had to threaten anybody.
You're breaking my heart.
So, in order for you to take me seriously, I guess I'm just going to have to shoot you in the leg.
Sure. You almost shot me! I can't believe you've done that!
I can't believe I missed. Now, where is Zach Gregory?
Put the gun on the counter.
Zach Gregory?
I believe so.
Zach comes up behind Scott and holds a gun to his head. Scott exits the motel, Zach behind him. Hooch paws at the partially open window.
Come over to the Cadillac. You drive.
Zach eyes Hooch while keeping the gun pointed at Scott, who gets in the driver's side of Zach's car. Scott fastens his seatbelt.
A seatbelt? Oh, yeah. Think that's gonna keep you safe? Start the car. What are you doing?
Scott reaches into his pocket and puts on his glasses.
All right, now start the car.
Hooch gets his head and one paw out the window.
All right, go out here and turn left.
Scott removes his glasses.
Slow down.
He accelerates, then swerves.
Careful, look out!
He crashes the car into a low wall, sending Zach flying through the windshield and onto the ground. Hooch gets out of the car and runs to the scene. Zach shoots at Scott. Hooch jumps at him and bites his wrist, enabling Scott to grab the gun and aim it at Zach.
You're not gonna do it. You don't have what it takes.
What, kill you? You're right, I don't. But he does. Hooch!
Hooch places his mouth on Zach's throat.
It's an interesting sensation, isn't it? I'm just gonna ask you some questions. You blink once for yes and twice for no, okay?
Zach blinks.
Once, yes, okay, good. You killed Amos Reed.
He blinks twice.
I don't believe you.
Hooch says you did. Yes.
Okay, progress, good. Now, the seafood plant, you're using that as a cover? You're smuggling money, cash, out of the country?
Yes.
Okay. This is fun, isn't it? Boyette's in charge?
No.
No, I can't stop him from snapping your neck in two. Is Boyette in charge?
Zach blinks hard twice.
Is Boyette in on it?
He blinks once.
All right.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Here, back this way. All right. I'm just going to make it a little more comfortable, that's all.
He handcuffs Zach.
All right, good. Now, let's sit down. Let's sit.
He slides Zach to a sitting position.
Hooch! Come on, boy. Keep an eye on him for me, would you? What is this in your pocket? Oh, thanks.
Scott takes the coins and puts them in a nearby payphone and dials. Hooch's face hovers right in front of Zach, who grimaces. The seafood plant's doors are closed and there is no activity. Scott walks toward it and crouches down with Hooch beside him.
Okay, now, Hooch. Is there any way I can get you to understand this? I need you to cover the back, understand? I need you to cover the back. You know, the back yard, the back door, the gate, the back of the building, okay? Please. Cover the back.
Hooch runs down a passageway toward the back.
What a good dog.
Scott makes his way toward the building, checking his surroundings. Steam rises from pipes in the ground. Hooch comes to a closed metal door and scratches it with his paw. Scott gets closer to the building.
Oh, you scared me.
I'm sorry.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. That's nothing.
Well, I got here as fast as I could, and I can't believe it. It's Boyette.
Yeah. Where's
you
the backup?
Right.
Where's the backup?
Huh?
Yeah, where is
it? Oh, yeah. Well, I got four cars out in Carpenter Road and ready anytime I signal.
Okay.
Howard shows Scott a walkie-talkie.
You ready?
Yeah.
Howard has a shotgun, and Scott checks his pistol. They exchange a look before Scott swings the door to the plant open. They rush in and stand against the wall.
Looks like we missed him.
Scott moves in slowly.
Yeah.
Hooch makes his way through the plant. Scott puts his palm on the forklift engine.
Hey, the engine of this forklift is still warm. So it looks like we just missed him.
He grabs Howard's gun.
Hey, because you tipped him off, didn't you, Howard?
What are you doing? What's going on here?
You got backup on Carpenter Road, you better call him in. Come on, use the radio.
Now, Turner, come on. Scott, hey, it's Howard.
Look, I know you and Boyette are laundering money. You've got the perfect setup here. This small town where nothing ever happens. Built-in police protection. I even know how you're doing it. No!
Scott shoots past Howard at a block of ice, which shatters. Hooch jumps up to look in the window. Boyette creeps through a dark part of the plant. Scott pulls money out of the ice.
That's all the evidence I need, Howard. It's a matter of who's going to sell you out first, Zach or Boyette.
Boyette turns off the lights. Howard lunges at Scott, who shoves him against the pole. Howard throws Scott off, and the shotgun lands on the floor, firing. Hooch makes his way up to the roof. Howard seizes the shotgun and hunches with it ready. Scott stumbles by a conveyor belt, and Howard ducks under it. Boyette, holding a pistol, moves along behind stacks of boxes. Hooch jumps through an open skylight onto a catwalk. Scott crouches behind a conveyor belt. He glances up, and he and Hooch spot each other. Boyette peeks out from behind a corner and sees Scott start to stand up. Howard fires. Boyette darts forward, staying low. Scott shoots at Boyette, but Howard fires at him. Scott crawls under a conveyor belt. From the catwalk, Hooch patrols, looking down. Scott rises, using a metal post as cover. Boyette shoots at him, and Howard follows suit. Scott ducks behind the post again. Hooch accidentally knocks an object on the ground. Everyone looks up, and Hooch freezes. Hooch turns and Boyette shoots at him, piercing holes in the catwalk. Scott fires at Boyette, who ducks. Boyette peers through a lobster tank. He makes his way behind another tank so he has a narrow view of Scott through a doorway. He holds his gun up near his face. Hooch has his eyes on Boyette from the catwalk. Boyette slowly aims his gun at Scott. In slow motion, Hooch leaps at him from above. Boyette aims his gun at Hooch. Boyette shoots Hooch in the chest and the huge dog lands on top of him. Scott rushes toward them. Scott shoots Boyette, who crumples to the ground. Scott turns away from Boyette on the ground, but Howard comes up behind him and rests his shotgun on Scott's shoulder. Howard grabs him and turns him away.
All right, lace your hands behind your head. Don't turn around.
Howard, he still got his pistol. Howard, what are you doing?
Howard shoots Boyette. Scott flinches, his face clenched.
Scott?
Howard turns Scott to face him.
I'll kill you if I have to. But obviously this is going to be a lot easier to explain if we both have the same story.
What?
We came here to question him, and he fired at us. He killed your dog. We fired back. Killed the suspect. Congratulations. Solved the case.
Hooch crawls.
You know, I met some people when I was in the army in Panama, and they needed a secure way to get cash out of the country. So Walt set it up, and I got 1%.
It's drug money, Howard.
I don't know that. I never asked where it came from. But I'll tell you, it's a damn shame that people are getting killed over this thing. When I found out about it, it was too late. You believe me?
How do you explain Amos's murder?
All right, it's covered. Zach killed Amos. Boyette told him to do it. Boyette's dead. The case is closed. It's all true.
Scott sees Hooch.
Now, you gonna work with me on this?
Sure is a lot of money, Howard. But yeah, I'll work with you.
Hooch lies on the ground and stares at Howard's feet. Scott winces as Howard cocks his gun. Hooch lunges forward and sinks his teeth into Howard's leg. Scott grabs him from behind. They wrestle with the shotgun. Howard throws him off and holds the barrel of the shotgun aimed at his stomach. Scott grabs the trigger. Scott fires and Howard flies back. Scott falls to the ground, letting the shotgun go. He rushes over to Hooch, who lies on his side, his chest bleeding. Scott touches him gently. Scott's car speeds around a corner and pulls up to the animal clinic, his siren flashing. Emily hurries out to the car. Scott comes around and lifts the injured Hooch out of the passenger seat. Emily shuts the door and they rush toward the clinic. Emily looks at Hooch's wound as they walk. She opens the door and Scott carries the big dog through the waiting room and into the examination room. He lays Hooch down on the exam table, touching his head, then moving out of the way.
Come here. Keep these on. Come here. Hold that there.
Scott holds gauze on Hooch's wound.
Use pressure to stop the blood.
Emily moves away to get something off a table. She comes back to Hooch and treats him. Scott tears up.
Home, you'll be all right. But you need just some rest.
So keep your hands on his face, even so. That's right.
Yeah. It'll be all right.
Change it when it gets so.
That's right. Scott puts on a fresh piece of gauze. Emily injects something into medical tubing.
He's lost a lot of blood.
It's okay. It's all right. Good boy. That's a good boy. Yeah, good. Just gotta get you home. You just have to get yourself some rest. Hold on, Chief.
He strokes Hooch's face.
Hold on, boy. Come on, boy.
Hooch's eyes are barely open. Scott glances up at Emily, who continues to work. Hooch's eyes close. Emily turns to Scott and shakes her head. He looks up at her.
That's it.
Scott looks down and weeps before regarding Hooch. He stands and goes over to lean on a filing cabinet. Emily takes off her stethoscope.
I'm sorry.
She hugs him from behind, pressing her face on his back. Hooch's body lies motionless on the table. The sun sets over the rocky coast, seagulls flying over the water. Workers paint City Hall. And a uniformed cop leans against his patrol car's bumper.
Wait a minute. Come on now, they may not drive well, but we're trying to keep a little bit clean here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Let's go.
Ready? Come on.
Scott comes out wearing a suit. He and the officer get in the car, Scott in the passenger seat.
Seatbelt.
The officer puts on his seatbelt as they pull away from the police station and onto the street. They drive down an alley, two bystanders moving out of their way. Scott gets out of the car. He walks over to a smiling Dave, holding bolt cutters in front of a garage. He pulls the door open, revealing many bicycles inside.
Oh, stolen bicycles from the high school. Congratulations, how'd you know to look here?
Hey, I'm a professional investigator. It's my job to know these things.
You got a tip.
I got a tip.
You solved the case. Feels good, doesn't it?
Hey, Chief, your wife just called the station, quote, unquote, he's out, and if you're not home in 5 minutes, you're a hamburger.
Hey, girl, you need my help?
I can handle my own domestic crisis.
Hey, well, wait a minute. Here, take my jacket.
What?
Wrap it around your throat.
Dave wraps the jacket around his neck. Scott doesn't smile. The patrol car pulls up to the animal clinic.
Oh,
luck of Scott.
Scott jogs to the front door. Inside, Emily wrangles several collie puppies as Camille sits nearby.
Hey, what's going on? I'm home.
Oh, I didn't get my nap. I didn't get my ice cream cone, and he set them off again. You know, these are perfectly nice puppies, and then he gets them going, and they're like,
where is he?
I'm done.
Where is he?
I'm done?
Where is he?
He's upstairs.
I'll take care
of it. He's yours.
You deal with it. I'll take care of it, all right. Professional veterinarian.
Excuse me?
Hey, I told you this wasn't going to work.
I told you.
All right, I'm a little tired of this, but let's go through it again. No barking. No growling. No eating of the house plants. No dogs allowed on the second floor at all. No playing of my records. No sniffing of crotches. No drinking out of the toilet. You will not beg for food. No ball playing in the house. No chewing or slobbering of my shoes.
He picks up a wet shoe.
You will not hide from me.
Scott throws open a closet door. Inside sits a puppy that looks just like Hooch.
This is not your room.
The puppy stares up at Scott, a sock draped over his back. The credits roll over various clips from the film. Hooch jumps out of Amos's boat onto the wooden stairs. Hooch crashes through the window of the boat. He leaps off the catwalk at the seafood plant. He gallops on the dock, jowls flapping. Scott sprints after Hooch as he chases Zach down the street. Hooch and Camille run on the beach. Hooch bounds towards Scott on the dock, knocking him down. He pins him, his jaws on Scott's neck as his legs flail. Hooch bites Zach's throat as Scott has his gun pointed at him. Scott playfully chomps down on Hooch's neck. The muffin Scott brought for Hooch flies through the air and lands on the ground before the dog picks it up. Scott is slammed into the doggy door at the animal clinic. On the porch in his underwear, Scott yells at Hooch. Scott is yanked through the doggy door, his legs kicking behind him. Hooch gazes into the fridge. Hooch picks up the soccer ball. In the kitchen, he pulls napkins out of their package. He rips apart the headrest in Scott's car. Hooch laughs at the stream of beer shooting out of the punctured can. He rolls around in Scott's back seat. Scott pulls blankets away to find Hooch sleeping in his bed. Scott and Hooch each tug on his pillow, and feathers fly everywhere. Scott tries to drag Hooch to the bathtub. A stubborn Hooch stays put as Scott attempts to pull him out of the car. On Amos's dock, Scott struggles to control Hooch with the animal control pole. Attached to the animal control pole, Hooch yanks Scott through the gate to the animal clinic. In Scott's living room, Hooch pushes a box with his head. He walks by with Venetian blinds stuck around his neck, then trots with two of Scott's shirts on his back. In the car for the stakeout, Hooch shakes, then Scott imitates him. The rest of the clip shows several instances Hooch shaking, the dog's drool splattering on Scott's belongings. Then his head bursting through the laundry room door. Copyright 1989 Touchstone Pictures. All rights reserved. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution, Inc. Audio description by Deluxe with funding by Disney. Voice by Darren Polish. A stripe of blue shrinks to a circle as a burst of light turns to a few streaks against the orb. Touchstone Pictures.